You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Hello, my friends. Hello, one and all, and welcome to another live broadcast of the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program. I am your host, James Edwards. This is Saturday evening, August the 8th. Live, unrehearsed, and uncensored. We're red hot and rolling here in a hot summer night in August here in Memphis. And I'm going to do something I don't typically do here at the start of the show. We're going to give you a preview of the entire 3 hours to come, because it's going to be such a busy night and such an important night that we don't want you to get sucked into the vortex of the tornado before you have prepared yourself for what's to come. So here's basically how it's going to go. Keith Alexander and Eddie the Bombardier Miller both have the evening off tonight. The reason being is because we're calling Winston Smith out of the bullpen, so he's going to get a little time on the field this evening. He'll be coming on with us in the second hour. And also because there was a very heinous murder that took place in Memphis. Murders in Memphis aren't all that uncommon, but this one involved a police officer. And so we're going to talk about that. And while doing so, we're going to have the one and only Sean Bergen, professional television news reporter Sean Bergen, will be with us for the majority of the first hour. In fact, he's going to be with us immediately after the first commercial break tonight to break down the facts about this case and to compare it, to compare the way the media covered this case with other similar situations involving a cop and a member of the urban undertow, we will call it. So that's coming up. So I guess you could say we're starting off the program on a very somber note. But then, in the second hour, we're going to be analyzing and breaking down Thursday night's primetime Republican presidential primary debate. Yes, indeed, my friends, I'm going to recap the highlights for you. I'm going to list the winners and losers, as I saw it, in my opinion, the performances of each candidate. That will be when Winston Smith joins the show to discuss the stagnant poll numbers of people like Jeb Bush, Mike Huckabee, and Rand Paul, among others, and the meteoric rise of Donald Trump. I actually, and I wrote about this on our website yesterday, and ladies and gentlemen, our numbers are absolutely through the roof this summer. More people visiting thepoliticalcesspool.org this year than ever before. In fact, as we sit this evening live and on the radio, never before have more people been going to our website. The traffic just through the roof. And as I wrote on the website yesterday, I actually sat down on the couch on Thursday night with the finest glass of Sauvignon Blanc that I could find in a box. And I watched the entire Republican primary debate. This was the first time I have sat through a Republican primary debate from start to finish since Pat Buchanan participated in the 1999 Iowa straw poll. And as my treat to you, my gift to you, my dear friends, I have them in my hand as I sit here at the radio station tonight, handwritten notes that I took in real time while the debate rolled on. I look forward to sharing those notes with you during tonight's second hour. I've got 7 pages of notes. I was dutifully scribbling my thoughts as I watched the debate. So when I recap my thoughts, it's going to seem as though I'm jumping all over the place. But what I'm doing is I'm going down the debate from start to finish. And these are my opinions and commentary as they happened. But and we're going to liven this show up with a clip or two from Donald Trump, who, and I'll just say, I'm bullish on Trump now. You know, I don't even care if he's not a quote-unquote real conservative. I'll get into this more in the second hour. I don't want to give away the show, but his disdain for political correctness. If the Republican primary was tomorrow, I would vote for him. Now, I can't say things aren't going to change. I want to be the first on the record to say it here, and I'm going to use the political cesspool as my venue. I guess that makes sense since it's my show, but between now and next spring, when they start holding the Iowa and New Hampshire primaries, the Republican Party will expel Donald Trump. I do not think they're going to let him run on their ticket because he is unbought and unbossed. He stood head and shoulders. You know, 24 million people tuned into that debate. It's the highest rated cable broadcast ever outside of a sporting event. I'm not talking about a political debate. Yes, it was the highest rated political debate ever. The highest rated television show in the history of this country. They all tuned in to hear Trump. And the rest of them just looked like a pack of, you know, small dogs nipping at his heel. Again, I don't want to give away my thoughts. I'm not saying he's our ideological soulmate. He's not. But if the primary was held tomorrow, I would drag myself down to the polls to cast my vote for Trump. And we'll talk more about that in, as I promised, the second hour. Later on in the show tonight, two great guests. Winston Smith is going to interview the social media liaison for the American Free Press newspaper. Now, this is a publication that I have had a relationship with going back, predating my involvement on the radio show. It's amazing now, as I look back, how long my career is beginning to span. And the American Free Press has been an organization, an institution, a publication we've been working with since before day one. Don Wassel, also in the third hour tonight, the last half hour of the third hour. Mr. Wassel is the hardest working man in the business. He is the leader, the proprietor of at least three major organizations, including the website Cast Football, the American Freedom Union, and the Nationalist Times newspaper. He's going to be on with us tonight to talk about his tireless and inspirational activism. Got a great letter in the mail today from one of our listeners in Washington State. I'm telling you, folks, this show, this groundbreaking show, continues to gain in popularity and to grow in terms of listenership. Got this letter in the mail from a listener in Washington State, all the way up there in the Pacific Northwest. Jimmy writes, "Dear James, I'm grateful for your radio show, which I listen to each week. I think that you are a tremendous orator." Well, thank you, Jimmy. You have a great gift that very few people have. I got the opportunity to meet Keith Alexander at this year's American Renaissance meeting. Keith is also a very fine speaker. Thank you for the spring 2015 issue of the Occidental Quarterly and the monogrammed ink pen. Best regards, Jimmy. Jimmy, thank you for your support and thoughtful letter that you sent in, and for the financial contributions that we felt as though it was the very least we could do to send you that book and the pen and the magnet. And by the way, everybody that got those this week that donated to our fundraising drive in June, I hope you enjoyed those as well. We got a few good comments about that. And finally, Courtney from Alabama. We all know Courtney. Courtney laments the city that has been named to host the next Olympic Games. She is, in fact, going to be writing an article about this very issue for our website, which we believe will post next week when she finishes it. But she basically points out that the last four Olympic Games that have been named have gone to non-European countries. Now, this would be, of course, we know that in Sochi, they hosted the Winter 2014 Games there in Russia. But coming up, the next four forthcoming, I should say, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, is going to be hosting the Summer 2016 Olympics. Moving forward, Winter of 18, Summer of 20, Winter of 22 in South Korea, Japan, and China, respectively. She writes, "The Olympics belong to Europeans. We were never obligated to share it with the rest of the world. It's a little indicative of our current state, considering that for 4 years in a row, the Olympics will be hosted by non-European countries, and perhaps from here on out." So we'll listen to Courtney's commentary on that, also forthcoming. Stay tuned, everybody.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, well, you heard me break down the primer. Let's start fleshing this program out, and let's do so right from the beginning and right out of the gates by welcoming back to the program our good friend, a pro's pro, the one and only Sean Bergen. I wish that when we every time we have Sean on, it was under better circumstances and not something pertaining to a murder, as it seems as though this is, or some sort of a shooting. This is what Sean is known for covering these horrific incidents. But as you know, ladies and gentlemen, and we should make clear that our hearts and prayers are with the family of the victim here in Memphis and all of the members of the law enforcement community of this city this evening. But Sean, you know, while we're on, do you want to break down the facts of this case, or should I?
Well, why don't you go ahead and break it down, and then maybe I can start talking about it with more broad brush.
All right, well, here's basically what happened. And this is according to CNN. Police identified the 29-year-old Tremaine Wilborn as the suspect in the shooting that occurred last Saturday night. Wilborn happens to be black. Now, that is something, of course, that was left out of just about 90% of the articles covering this particular incident. We'll talk more about that in a moment. He has since been captured. He was at large for about 2 days. He shot Officer Sean Bolton, 33 years of age, multiple times on Saturday night. He was later taken to the hospital in critical condition and pronounced dead. So essentially what happened, Sean, as you know, Officer Bolton spotted this car that was parked illegally. He went over to investigate, turned on the light, and we don't know exactly what happened from the time he got out of his cruiser to the time that he was shot down, but apparently it wasn't a very long amount of time there. The suspect in this case, Mr. Wilborn, had been convicted of bank robbery. He was on probation after serving at least some part of his 122-month prison sentence. So do the math on that, 122-month sentence for bank robbery. He's 29 years old. He's out back on the streets of Memphis doing a drug deal of marijuana, less than 2 ounces. The officer approaches him, and he's dead minutes later. Why don't you take it from there? Because there's a lot more important facts to this that we'll take our time in getting to over the course of the next three segments. But, Sean, I want you to take it from there.
Well, the headline here, James, that we didn't see anywhere, of course, is black man shoots white cop. Now, of course, if those roles had been reversed, that's all we'd be hearing about, and CNN would have moved their set with Don Lemon down to the streets of Memphis to go live from your neighborhood there, day in and day out, 24 hours a day, until the riots started.
Yes.
He was the 70th law enforcement line of duty death. 4 days later, we had Officer Thomas LaValle in Shreveport, Louisiana, was also gunned down. Out of the 71 line of duty deaths, 19 of these police officers have been shot to death, and the war on cops continues. It has just come to a neighborhood near you. And, when I look at this situation and what has played out over the last year, we had three officers in New York City shot, gunned down under similar circumstances, either with some type of a stop, and when they approached the suspect, the guy turns around with a gun and blows the young cop away. And these were all young cops. Bolton, Sean Bolton, of course, was a Marine Corps veteran and an Iraq War veteran and represented everything great about this country. And, of course, his, the suspect in this case, who I understand turned himself in after a couple of days, again, has a lengthy police record. And you look at this situation and say, why is this savage walking the streets? I guess that's anyone's guess. But this trend that we've seen, this war on cops that has really overtaken America's cities, I feel in large part is driven by the institutional left, what Andrew Breitbart used to refer to as the institutional left, and that would be the cabal that exists between the liberal media, academia, these jerks out in Hollywood, and their liberal lovers in the Democrat Party. And we all know who they are. I mean, it starts at the top with the President of the United States, his two attorney generals, Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch. And, they're handmaidens like Al Sharpton, who has probably done more to destroy police community relations than any one individual in the history of these United States.
Sean, you certainly drove the stake right into the heart of the matter. And I say this, you really hit what makes the story so significant. Of course, anytime a police officer is murdered in the line of duty, I mean, it's a tragedy. But what makes this case even more interesting is that, number one, of course, it happened in Memphis. So for us, that's something of significance because we live here. This is where we broadcast from. This is the flagship for this syndicated program. But also the fact that the media, what they said, what they didn't say. I mean, certainly when you're a police officer and you're patrolling the streets, you're dealing with the dregs of our society, there's a certain risk inherent in that. Unfortunately, sometimes this happens. But the media is contemptible, so contemptible in this. It continues to show to just what extent political correctness infects its mouthpieces, as I said on the website earlier this week. In the aftermath of Ferguson, Sean, as you pointed out quite rightly, the headlines screamed. They literally jumped off of the newspapers. White officer shoots unarmed black teen. Immediately following the murderous rampage in Charleston, the media declared with sadistic glee, white man shoots worshipers at historic black church. We could go on and on and on with similar examples. In Memphis, however, one would not know the race of the suspect and the victim if we could not see with our own eyes the pictures. And I just asked myself, I wonder why that is. Why does the media deem it important to draw racial distinctions when the story fits the narrative, but purposefully chooses to leave out such details when it doesn't? I would think, Sean, if you've got a criminal at large in your community, it might help to know if he was black or white. I mean, that would, certainly either way take out a significant percentage of the population that you're deeming a suspect. If we say, yes, we know he was of this race, he was of this height, of this age, these are important facts. They report these facts sometimes and sometimes they don't, right?
Well, yes, and you've hit on a very important fact right there, and that the media, the mainstream media, has failed in its primary mission. Their primary mission is to inform the public. It's to let people know what the heck is going on. It's to tell people who weren't there what happened. Put the period right there. You have a gunman on the loose in your community. He shot a cop, and nobody knows who we're looking for, what the guy looks like, because the media is so derelict in their duties, in identifying this suspect. They're going to say, the guy was wearing a green shirt, you know? We're all looking for a guy with a green shirt? We're looking for a young black male who was dressed like this and was, you know, last seen fleeing on a pair of Air Jordans. But they won't go down that road because these people, and I spent 10 years working in liberal fishbowl, these people are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. And if they can't be honest with themselves, then they certainly can't be honest with the public and in the process of performing their duty. And that is really a big failing point. And I think it explains in large part why networks like CNN and MSNBC have seen their ratings collapse, why we've seen public confidence in local TV news fall through the floor. I mean, you know, public confidence in the news media now is approaching single digits. It's on par now with members of Congress, which is about as low as it gets.
Well, that's absolutely right, and that is why I think you should be heralded as, and I don't like to throw around adjectives like heroes a lot, but as far as media personalities goes, I mean, you certainly stand, Sean, head and shoulders above everybody else that was in your former profession, and God bless you for that, for having the courage, and I think everybody remembers your story from last summer, not much more than a year ago, when you stood up, you told the truth, and you didn't apologize, you didn't grovel, you're a man. And we like having men on this show. We're men. And we're going to talk more about this man-to-man with Sean Bergen right after this. A lot more facts that the media has not shared with you about this case. We're going to do it right here live. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. You a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, live this evening. James Edwards along with the great Sean Bergen. And we're talking about the murder of Officer Sean Bolton at the hands of one Tremaine Wilborn here on the streets of Memphis. I would like to remind everyone that last week at this very time, 6:33 p.m. Central Time, a week ago tonight, while we were live on the air, Officer Sean Bolton was working the beat. He was still alive. He was shot at approximately 9:18 p.m. last Saturday night. I was in the parking lot of the radio station at that time getting ready to drive home. He died, of course, shortly thereafter. So last week at this time, he was alive. Less than a week later, at this very moment, he's not only dead but buried. He survived Iraq, but not the streets of his own hometown. And as a native Memphian born and raised, I take a lot of shame in that. Sean, I'm going to ask you a two-part question here. Number one, do you believe that the media could possibly be somewhat to blame here for the death of Officer Bolton? And I know this is, you know, just completely hypothetical because we have no way of knowing exactly how it went down, but it's obviously not common for a thug to get the jump on a police officer who's trained to deal with these dangerous situations. I am wondering if all of this, you know, insane narrative forced him to be a little slow in a response, whereas otherwise he perhaps would have been a little more quick to draw. You know, of course, I'm sure in the back of the minds of every police officer now, he has to be wondering, well, if I pull my gun, if I shoot this guy, I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to live in fear like Darren Wilson. I'm never going to be able to be employed again. We don't have any way of knowing for sure. But that's part one. Could it be possible? And number two, is it a stretch to assume that if Officer Bolton had been able to fire first in self-defense, that the Black Lives Matter thugs would be rioting in the streets and burning Memphis to the ground right now? Two-part question. Take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think that the rhetoric coming from the institutional left is driving a lot of this violence we see being committed against cops. Last year in New York City, when officers Lou and Ramos were gunned down, the suspect in that case pointed to Mike Brown and said this was revenge for Mike Brown, the scene we saw in Ferguson last year. I don't think it's an overreach on our part to say that the left-wing media has been driving this war on cops. I think they have legitimized the Black Lives Matter crowd. I think that they have legitimized in many respects violence against police officers as an act of retribution almost. When the tables are on the other hand, you know, the political left has no problem pinning all this stuff on the right. And I would draw your attention to the 2011 assassination attempt of Gabrielle Giffords, Congressman Gabby Giffords, down in Tucson, where she and 18 others were shot by Jared Loughner. Six people died in that case. And the left-wing media immediately went after the political right and went so far as to say that Sarah Palin was partly to blame for this, because she had used targets in a political action committee in targeting, Giffords' congressional district as one of those that they should focus their efforts on. I would also point to the fact that Brian Ross, the highly regarded investigative reporter for ABC's Network News, also first identified Loughner as a possible member of the Tea Party. And so when these connections, however tenuous they are, might exist, the left has no problem in connecting dots that don't even really exist in large part. But I think that a lot of people who are paying close attention to this war on cops and how it has played out over the last year would point to the fact that the media, the liberal media, is driving a lot of the bad blood and the anger and the bitterness and the resentment that is directed at the American law enforcement community. And I think a lot of these young guys see themselves as being somewhat heroic in taking on police officers in the way that they have.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, if you've monitored Facebook pages of people in that particular community here in Memphis, in no uncertain terms, they've been saying, hey, send more cops down here. Yeah, we want more cops to come down here so they can do more actions like this. Now, obviously, that's a very small percentage, but it's certainly not just a handful of people who are saying these things like this. So, yes, I agree with you, Sean. This is almost, you know, how they prove themselves as, you know, heroes to their, you know, insane, you know, segment of society by doing things like this. And again, having not been there, we can't say for sure that Officer Bolton was stunted in his reaction because of the narrative, this abuse that has been inflicted upon police officers, that they're all bad, that they shouldn't draw guns, that these people are just innocent angels, and so on and so forth. But we can probably, and this goes back to the question I asked you a moment ago, we can probably say with a fair degree of certainty that had he shot first, had he defended himself, and we know that it would have been completely justified, you know, obviously, because he's dead now, if he had done so, and if he had gotten the drop on this guy and put him down, is it much of a reach to say Memphis would be ablaze just like Baltimore was?
Oh, yeah. Well, we've seen this play out now on several occasions. We saw it begin this time last year in Ferguson, and then we saw it in New York City when Mayor de Blasio turned the streets of the city over to roaming bands of anarchist cop-haters. Then we saw it again in Baltimore with six police officers now who appear to be grossly overcharged and in riling up that crowd that burned a large portion of the city to the ground. I think that if the roles had been reversed here and Bolton had been quicker on the draw and had actually shot the suspect, that you would see the Black Lives Matter crowd down there joined by the Occupy Wall Street crowd and, you know, the new Black Panther Party and all of these people who seem to have these roaches that crawl out from every nook and cranny whenever they think there's an excuse to invite mayhem on an otherwise peaceful city like Memphis. I mean, I don't know, when was the last time an officer was shot in the line of duty before Officer Bolton?
We have had three in the last 4 years that have been murdered in Memphis, so it's almost getting to an average of once a year now in recent years. So, again, it is climbing, but it's not as though it happens every day. And Memphis is, you know, overall, yes. I mean, it's obviously not a war zone, but, you know, it could be certainly much safer, particularly they called it a working class community where he was shot. If that's what they're calling them now, maybe so. But I mean, we know what kind of neighborhood it was. I want to give you some other interesting facts though about Memphis, Sean, since you brought it up. The Memphis Police Department actually paid for a series of billboards that lined the perimeter of Memphis as you were driving into the Memphis city limits. This was over the course of the past 2 years. Billboards sponsored and paid for by the Memphis Police Department that said, "You're now entering Memphis, welcome to Memphis, enter at your own risk." That is because this government in Memphis, the mayor and the city council, have cut salaries of Memphis police officers so much and absolutely decimated their benefits. The number of paid police officers in Memphis has plummeted from 2,500 a couple of years ago, now down to about 2,000. And a lot of cops are fleeing Memphis and going to smaller municipalities. The city of Memphis is a city of about 650,000 people, you know, according to the census of 2013. And they're going to cities like Olive Branch, Mississippi, right over the border, population 34,000. They get better pay, better benefits, less crime. So this is what we've got going on here in Memphis. This officer, his funeral was on Thursday at Bellevue Baptist Church, one of the biggest churches here in town. The mayor was there. When the mayor spoke, as we've seen in other cities like New York, every cop got up out of the auditorium, left the sanctuary, went out to the hall until he was finished, then came back in. So, you know, this is what we've got going on here in Memphis. It's, you know, we've seen this in other cities as well, Sean, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I tell you, this sounds like another trend that's growing here across the country. And I remember when I had my incident back at News 12 a little over a year ago, the last thing I said to my news director and assistant news director when I walked out of their office was this. I said, the cops are not taking it anymore. They have suffered in silence for decades, and they are not going to take this kind of treatment from the news media anymore. You mark my words. And it was just a few months later that we saw police officers, 10,000 of them from all over the country, turn their backs on the New York City mayor at a cop funeral. I've been on the planet 50 years, and I've never seen anything like that. And it sounds like the cops in Memphis are probably disenchanted with the leadership there as well. And we know for a fact that the police in Baltimore are really disappointed, and the morale is down in the sewer over there because of the way that they've been treated by their elected officials, the mayor and the chief prosecutor down there, the attorney general, Mossman. So, you know, where we see these leftists seizing power in cities around the country, they do a marvelous job of digging their own grave by alienating their own police departments to the point where they'll turn their backs on people at a funeral.
Ironic that you use the term digging their own grave. I'll mention that, tell you why that's interesting when we come back. We're going to have Scoop Stanton with us as well. Stay tuned.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, one more segment on this topic, and then as promised earlier in the program, when we head into the second hour in just a few minutes, we're going to give you a comprehensive recap and analysis, breakdown of the presidential primary debate on the Republican side that occurred on Thursday night in Cleveland. Stay tuned for that. But first, one more segment on this issue of the murder of Officer Sean Bolton at the hands of one Tremaine Wilborn, bank robber, among other things, back out on the streets at 29 years of age. He already served a 122-month prison sentence. And this is what happens. He's doing a drug deal. It would have been a misdemeanor. I guess with his record, it would have been a little bit more stout of a punishment. But he had less than two grams of marijuana, shoots the cop, kills him. And now here we are talking about it. But Sean said something right before the break that these city officials are digging their own graves and treating police officers like this. You know, and we've covered this on the program, obviously. The biggest story in Memphis, according to the media, according to the mayor, according to the city council who voted on this, from June up until last week when this officer lost his life, was the fact that there are Confederate veterans buried here in Memphis. And so the mayor has launched this crusade along with the city council to dig up the graves of Confederate veterans. Now, Nathan Bedford Forrest in particular is one that they're going after. Well, he's been buried there since, what, 1877. They found out this summer they were offended by that. But, you know, to me, I don't know. In a city like Memphis, violent crime, this type of rampant crime, murders a dime a dozen. It's normally not a police officer that's being murdered, but murders, hey, a day in Memphis is pretty cheap. You know, life in Memphis is pretty. I would be focusing on, to me, that is probably something more worthy of the government's time and efforts. You know, that's a problem I think that probably needs to be dealt with first. You know, I don't know, but, you know, we'll just throw that out there for anyone that's interested. And let me tell you something. I know everybody out there listening, you know, you can say what you want to about cops, and I know we could, if we, you know, had to, we could bring up stories we don't like about cops. But let me tell you something. In the city of Memphis, like Baltimore and St. Louis and some of these other places, you better be thankful for every police officer that's out on the street. I am telling you that right now. In a place like Memphis, you need cops and you need them treated well and you need them supported. And that's what we're trying to do here on the show. You don't want a street with more demoralized cops, less paid cops, cops working double shifts because there's not enough officers to patrol the streets. In a place like, listen, I was in court on Wednesday paying my, I had to go to court. I got another speeding ticket. I think 20 miles an hour is still pretty reasonable, but they didn't, so I had to go to court. And it's astonishing that they still allow me to drive. But you know what? I paid my fine. I did it with respect, and here I am supporting the boys in blue tonight. A place like Memphis, you need them. Scoop, over to you.
Good evening, James. Good evening, Sean. Well, every Saturday and Sunday, I get my heart racing by watching Melissa Harris-Perry on MSNBC. And this morning, I almost had a stroke. For the past year and change, she's been talking about Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. Absolutely nothing about Officer Bolton and Officer LaValle from the Shreveport, Louisiana Police Department. Needs to say, her and all the mother clowns on her panel never have to deal with these people have to deal, or even I have to deal, because my job brings me to some of the not-so-nice neighborhoods of the District of Columbia. So I would say, you know, stop watching her. Stop watching. Don't patronize any of the sponsors. But then again, her ratings at absolute zero. So I took my frustrations on Twitter, using some not so nice family friendly language, and I encourage the others to do the same. But again, with MSNBC, CNN, everybody else, with the exception of Fox, to a point, nobody sticks up for the cops. Like we've been saying for the past year, only us. That's why all the members of the law enforcement community that do listen to us, please tell your other brothers in blue that, you know, the political cesspool will back you up. We won't back you up with firepower unless, you know, you give us a phone call, but we'll back you up verbally and toe-to-toe with anybody. James, Sean?
Well, I want to toss it back. Yeah, go, Sean. I want to give you the chance to chime in and add anything to this.
Perry, I find it very difficult to take a person like that seriously when she thinks it's a good idea, sound judgment, to come out on the air with a pair of tampons dangling from her ears. I mean, that's the visual that I have of Melissa Harris-Perry and that entire network, which has just gutted its daytime programming because they have they've hit the gutter as far as ratings go. I mean, they're not even considered competition by Fox News anymore, which, by the way, had a 24 million people tuned in to watch the debates the other night, the largest audience for a non-athletic event ever on TV. So
indeed,
the American people are not fooled by these charlatans, these poseurs who get on TV and call themselves journalists. Any network that would host Al Sharpton as a host is, they're just so lacking in credibility that they're almost not worth discussing.
Scoop, back to you.
Well, MSNBC is just as bad, but also CNN is still the same thing. I don't know if you remember last year with the Mike Brown, Darren Wilson thing, where Sandy Korn or Sandy Cohen or whatever the hell her name is, her and a bunch of other broads were on TV putting their hands up. Well, you know, the fact, you know, five white women probably don't have to put their hands up unless they get mugged by one of these street urchins. So CNN's just as bad, and of course, I don't hear anything on mainstream talk radio talking about Limbaugh, Hannity, Levin, Lembeck. None of these people ever talk about cop murders, and they sure as hell don't open up their wallets. Now, granted, I'd love to open up my wallet, donate to the family of the victim, but just like everybody else on the show, they're poor too. But it's just sickening that, you know, unfortunately, we have to talk about this time and time and time again. I got no problem talking about supporting the cops, but to talk about, you know, the death of Lou, death of Ramos, death of Brian Moore, death of Deputy Marshall Wells, death of Police Officer Johnson in Philadelphia, Police Officer Bolden. I mean, it gets tiring after a while. And I just hope, I hope and pray that whoever's the next president does something about it, because Obama has done absolutely nothing, and I mean nothing, to tell these people,
Scoop. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I got to interject right here very quickly. You know, Obama has done something. I mean, he has aided and abetted this thing. When you send high-ranking government officials to places like Ferguson to stand in solidarity with the criminal, that is outlandish by any reasonable standard of measurement that and they're all in anytime. I want to give you some statistics about this, you know, since we're on the topic. You know, the government goes all in when the narrative fits. White cop shoots black guy, you know, in every case that we've seen, that we've discussed on this program, has been completely justified according to the facts, according to, you know, grand jury's decisions and so on and so forth. But the government goes all in. You know, in this case, obviously, when the roles are inversed, you know, the media did cover this a little bit, certainly not to the extent that they would have otherwise, but they did cover it a little bit, but they left out any of the racial distinctions that they love to crow about, again, when it fits the narrative. But Ronald Reagan said back in the day that facts are stubborn things. And so for the benefit of the Obama administration and the so-called leaders of the black community, I'd like to point out this fact. Between 8,000 to 9,000 blacks, and this again comes from the Department of Justice, are murdered every year in America. However, approximately 93% are murdered by other blacks, and far less than 1% of blacks who are killed annually die at the hands of a police officer. And in the overwhelming majority of cases, the use of deadly force by police officers is justified by the circumstances. So, you know, once again, Sean, these are the facts. These are the facts, you know, hardly coming from a racist, quote unquote, source. Maybe ironically it is. We're talking about the Department of Justice, just, reversed racist, perhaps. But these are the facts. But we can't let the facts get in the way of a good story. Right, Sean?
Can't get it right. I mean, look, there's nothing racist about math. All right, and these are the numbers, and this is how they add up. And yes, why let the truth get in the way of a perfectly good narrative? And according to the American left, cops are nothing more than a bunch of grown-up bullies. They're a bunch of racist thugs who are out to oppress minority communities through a combination of corruption and brutality. Now, what they do is they go out and they cherry-pick facts, and they'll look for people on the streets who will support that narrative. That was the case with the Michael Brown, Darren Wilson incident in Ferguson last year, where CNN stuck a mic in the face of Dorian Johnson, who stood there like he was just some eyewitness who happened to stumble upon the scene, when in fact the man was an accomplice in crime. He was a partner in crime of Brown. That guy was given every bit of credibility as he was telling the truth. And that spawned this motto that became, hands up, don't shoot. It became the motto of the whole, and the whole thing is a lie. And I don't remember anybody from any news network issuing a retraction, saying, I'm sorry, we got it wrong, we rushed to judgment, we tried to do this, blah, blah, blah. Nothing. This is Limbo close to the drive-by media. They blow in, they shoot everything up, and then they just move on to the next story and leave this wreckage behind. And in the case of Officer Darren Wilson, they destroy the man's life. And that's what they do to police officers. They hold them to an impossible standard, and then they crucify these men when they fail to meet that standard. And that standard, of course, is being set by weak, anemic, pathetic guys who if they were faced with what Officer Sean Bolton was faced with, or Officer Leverlake, you know what they would do? They would sit on the floors and they would suck their thumb, because that's what they do.
Sean Bergen, everybody. He's telling it like it is and in no uncertain terms, and he's exactly right. Sean, God bless you, brother. Thanks for being with us tonight to break down this hard story. Scoop, thanks to you as well, as always. We'll be back with coverage of the debate that occurred on Thursday night after we take a break and come back in the second hour. Stay tuned, everybody. It rolls on right after this.
The power of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.